Real Moms of Bravo. Real Moms of Bravo. Real Moms of Bravo.
Real Moms of Bravo.
Hello, happy day whenever you are listening to this. Let's talk about my favorite show, Top Runner. I would say Summer House is number one.
I was just going to say Vanessa.
Way to call me out. I just wanted to start out controversial and make sure you're awake listening. But
you know,
my favorite is a close second.
Potomac. It's just killing it right now. We'll discuss that later. I'm being sarcastic. No, The Valley is a very close second to Summer House right now. It is kind of wild. Like, you and I were discussing, like, when's the next like Housewife franchise coming out? And we have New Jersey, but then like we're gonna have a lull because we've got a lot that have just started filming. Like OC, they're in London right now. Beverly Hills, I think, is about to start filming. Salt Lake City is filming. Roni is going to start filming. So it's like it takes a good, once they wrap, it's a good 6 months before we see it. So it's like, it's going to be a while before we have a new Housewife franchise. I'm not worried. Like, I feel like Summer House is carrying it. The Valley is carrying it. I think Southern Charm, like, and I think we're going to be just fine. So just a weird shift.
It is a weird shift. And I also wonder if there's any new programming that could happen in between then, but I digress. I mean, we also have Top Chef happening right now, Project Runway, the competition shows that are happening. So
would
those
have
are
been,
other
though,
things.
The best time to have a family karma ready to rock and go. Because I think it would be killing it right now in this like non-housewife explosion of like viewership. But
I feel like you should put that out there, Abby. We should. Yeah. We should, you know,
Ryan Benny, if you come on our podcast, we will help you get your show back.
Please feel free to harass him about that. All right. Anyhow, let's talk about The Valley. So I kind of agree with Jax's assessment of Janet. I really like Janet, like you, but I do can see how she is a silent killer, as he said, in the terms of putting something out there and then people kind of a little LVP like. In the sense of you said something and then people are going to run with it.
It's genius. Like, this is what good reality TV people do. They didn't start the fire, but they might pour a little gasoline on it. And I think that's exactly what Janet's doing. I think it's also really interesting that like, as it's happening in the moment, they're all like, Kristen, like, that's not what we're saying. Or you're the one doing this. You're the one who's dragged everyone into it. And then it's like, as the dust settles, they're like, maybe it wasn't all Kristen doing this. But nobody really, though, is standing up for her at this point, other than trying to facilitate a conversation that she ends up just kind of falling on her face. But yeah, I don't think it's all on Kristen. I actually do think Janet definitely just threw some gasoline on a fire and knew Kristen and other people might potentially run with it. And that I do think being pregnant gives her a little bit of like an out.
He wouldn't do that because she's pregnant. Yeah. She's about to have a baby.
I'm so busy with other stuff in my life. Why would I be starting drama? I don't even have my nursery ready. Like, it's the perfect excuse. And Kristen is just a self like imploding ticking time bomb. And Janet knows this and is fully aware that like in the moment, if people are yelling at Kristen, she's not going to take a step back and be like, everyone, evaluate where we all had heard this from. There's got to be an ounce of truth to if every single one of us had heard something from Janet, but instead she just starts yelling at everyone and just like continues to fall on her face and sending these weird ass texts like, your secret is safe. I will protect you.
That is okay. That is a mafia level shit, mob boss stuff with Michelle. That was very interesting to me. And I'm just kind of like, you got to be careful with Kristen Doty. She knows how to do TV. She's basically have hit rock bottom. She's the scariest person to be on a TV show with because she truly has nothing to lose. She's already lost it before. So she's just going in like zero fucks giving to in a messy Kristen Doty type way. But I mean, that's the scariest type of person to mess with.
It is. And it is like this, like such a perfect storm. And I know there's a lot of people like, I don't like watching this because it's like adults, not adulting, but I'm kind of like, some of it is relatable, a little bit of it. And a moment, honestly, that I like really like felt was heartwarming was between Jax and Brittany with Cruz, you know, they were saying like he was hitting all the milestones. Like there's just like, I think there's pieces of it that we can relate to. And then there's parts that are that over the top ridiculousness that we love about reality TV. And I think that's why the Valley's working. But back to Brittany and Jax, kind of like my heart broke for them as they brought like the speech therapist in. Not necessarily, I mean, I know tons of people who've had to have like speech therapy for their kids, occupational therapy, physical therapy for a variety of reasons. But I think like particularly with your first, it's just so scary when like little things happen or like, I know now I look back and kind of laugh because I'm like, oh, this fits his personality. But like my oldest didn't start walking until he was like 15 and a half months old. And I remember being at that appointment at the 15 month mark. And they're like, okay, well, if he's not walking by the next one, we might evaluate physical therapy. And you just start freaking out and your brain goes to a place of like, well, if he can't walk, what will his life be like? What will this mean for him? And you just like spiral so quickly. And I could relate to that with Brittany. I'm sure she's like, I'm reading to him. I'm doing all the right things. And it's not any parent going through it. It's not something you did or you're not doing, but it's really hard. And I know you said like you could relate to that too.
Yeah, absolutely. So Cammy is my youngest. She is now 3 and a half and thriving, mind you, but she was a NICU baby. So I had the expectation of things being slightly delayed with milestones, and speech was one of them that I was worried about. I was very close to seeking a therapist or just some additional support just to make sure that I've set her up for success, essentially. Didn't end up needing it, but I could deeply relate to what she was sharing with us. And truthfully, we all know Brittany's the one who's doing all the work and is the one who's noticing all of this. I mean, I bet Jax is like, oh, he's fine. He's fine. Like, don't worry about it.
I think he made a noise the other day. I'm pretty sure I heard him. Like, yeah.
But I think like as parents, to your point, like anyone whose child may need that extra support or doesn't, whatever. I think as mothers and as parents especially, it's like our biggest struggle to not be able to like control or help something. So in this situation, like we said, it's Cruz, it's okay. Like it's just how he's structured and they're getting the support, but it's so hard to not be able to like just make it right.
Yeah. And it's like, you just so badly want it to be like, hey, if you read him 5 books a day, he'll start speaking. You're like, okay, great. I will make sure I read him 8 books a day. Like, but it isn't always that black and white. And I think that's like the hardest part about parenting is that there's never really an easy fix for anything.
And it's not a one size fits all solution either. Every child is so different. As you mentioned, like my daughter walked at 9 months. You had one at 15. Like there's so many different levels. And I think for any new parent listening, please try not to do the comparison game because it is so hard not to do, but it's also like Abby and I are saying, as you look back at things, so silly because you kind of get in your head. However, that being said, don't spiral, but if you feel intuitively that your child may need some extra resources or help, listen to that voice.
Oh, and like, I think, no offense to the dads, but mother's intuition is real. And there is definitely something where like, you know, if like something's off and wrong, and I think you've got to like listen to that. But yeah, Kristen.
Okay. So I think the secret has to do with the Jax and Michelle. I think it has to do with that we're going to see later on. Like, that's kind of what I feel.
I feel like it has something to do with like, she's flirted with other guys, or when she goes out, she crosses the line. I don't think she's physically cheated. I wouldn't be surprised if her husband has physically cheated. But yeah, I do think it has something to do with like the marriage, just because I don't think it has anything to do with their child. I don't think it has anything to do with like, oh no, she secretly really is a racist. Cause I just like think something like that maybe would have come to light at this point. But yeah, I did find it interesting that all of the dads got together for a trip to the county fair. I will say for Danny, you like to tell everybody three under two. You definitely are going to need a minivan. Like there's just no easy, like how are you going to get, you're going to ding every door in a grocery store just getting all those kids out of the car seats. But I love that they all load up the van and the guys are talking about like, the lack of like sex they're having and the romance missing. I just feel like that's not really like what dudes talk about. Like I have overheard what dudes talk about. Like, I'll have a girls' night and they'll be like men that, you know, are married at like the table next to you, and I'm overhearing what they're talking about. And it's usually not like they'll talk about sex, but in a very different way than what these guys were talking about.
Yeah. It's definitely a little bit, it's giving to me like Al Bundy, like old school marriage tropes.
Yeah.
Oh, we're not having sex, you know, like, but the wife does everything.
Yeah. I don't know. It was just kind of weird. Like, well, it's just the, like, that's the phase of life we're in. I'm like, well, two out of three of you are about to be divorced. So maybe.
Maybe. Yeah. And listen, I do think there is a dry spell and an adjustment after having kids. Like, totally normal. However, Cruz is what? Two? That's not.
About to be three.
Yeah. I don't feel like that's attributed to, you know, that postpartum fog anymore. I think, too, when it comes to sex, obviously, to have a healthy marriage and relationship, you both have to be like willing to work at it. And if it is scheduling sex, that works for some people. If it's spicing things up in other ways, but I just, I don't know. I feel bad for Brittany, and she is giving us Jada Pinkett energy with these reveals she's doing on interviews. Like, we had sex twice in the last year. I'm like, girl, I don't need to know that.
I also too, like, then, like, clearly things aren't working, you know? Like, I don't know. Like,
I mean, clearly, obviously,
there's this is a red flag.
Well, same with Jesse and Michelle when she called him like the longest booty call. She's like, I mean, I saw him and I knew he wasn't the one, but I wanted a booty call, and now I'm in the longest booty call ever. And I'm like, Lord, kind of, if Kyle, like, ever described me that way.
I know. I got the impression that it was kind of like, I wonder if it was just like in the beginning, it was like fun and good sex, and it was like, okay, at some point I'm gonna break this off. And then it was like she got in too deep, and then she's like, well, like, because I've had friends who will be in like bad relationships, especially like 5-6 years ago. They're like, but I'm 30, what am I gonna do? I'm like, well, you're not gonna marry this guy just because you're 30 and you know it's not the right relationship. And I wonder for Michelle, if she was like, well, I'm 31, I'm 32, like, I guess I'm just going to marry him because, like, I'm not getting any younger. And then it's like, I don't know. It kind of gave me that vibe of like, she eventually, like, she really probably never meant to marry him. And then just,
she settled. Like, she got like tricked into it, but she wasn't tricked into it. Like, I feel like that's the way she's playing it to us. Like, oh,
yeah. Like, I feel like she was like in her head, she's like, I'm going to break up with him at the end of summer. And then like fall rolled around, he's like, we're going to like Italy. And she's like, okay, I'm going to break up with him after this trip. And it was just like always something.
Can we, before we talk about this event, because I want to give Jared Lips some loves, someone who we do adore on this podcast, but Kristen Doty, yes, your body, your choice, yada yada, like when it comes to having a child. However, I do feel like if anyone in the friend group wants to call the fact that Luke hates LA with all in the fiber of his being, and she doesn't want to leave California, and that feels like something you should discuss before bringing a child into the world. Like,
where are you raising this kid?
Yeah.
I was also a little confused because she said my work is in LA. Does she just mean the Valley?
James May t-shirts.
Oh, is that still going?
She had one on in the episode.
I know, but I mean, is it like,
I don't know if it's going, but okay. It's going. I mean,
it's still around. Yeah. But she could do James May from anywhere. Yeah, just like that part to me. I was like, so if you weren't on this reality show, I don't know. I wonder if she like tricked him to be like, look, I know what I'm doing. And if we do this for 2 to 3 years, then I can get us our own show and we can go live in Colorado. I could just see her having that DeLulu attitude.
I can't read Luke. Like, on one hand, he seems like a nice Midwestern boy. But on the other hand, he's giant penis man, according to Kristen. They have wild sex. The first night they met was at a wedding. They had sex behind a tree or something crazy like that. But he also, I don't know. I can't read him, I guess. I'm like, you're just as crazy as Kristen, I think. Well, but you hide it better.
I think there's got to be a level of like craziness for there to be that even like instant spark. I will say, I mean, very romantic. He was, had the whole room with the petals and all stuff. It was kind of weird to me though. Like, I get like these are some of her close friends. I was like, when we were trying, I was never like openly sharing with people like, well, I'm ovulating. So I'm like, I really hope I'm pregnant right now. But I'm like, again, maybe that's like, we're all different. But I was like, we all need to know her cycle and the fact that she's ovulating. And we're talking like at a nice dinner, we're talking about like, well, I laid there for a while. And she's like, well, I hope you didn't put your legs up. I was like, oh, okay.
Also, the massage table was like such, I was like,
yeah, where the, like, Well, someone goes, did you get a massage? She's like, no, but we used the table. I'm like, so it was just to have sex on? Like,
I was just kind of
also
like,
those weren't the sturdiest.
No, I was a lot to unpack there. And yes, on one hand, yes, nice of her friends to set that up for her. But also, I find candles everywhere like that and rose petals a little cheesy. But again, it's romance.
It's just a little weird that, like, you're going to get a room ready for two people to just, like, have a lot of sex. But, I mean, especially for a dude, I get, like, he asked, you know, of all the guys, Danny would be the best one to ask to do it. It's not like any of the other ones have these, like, great relationships. Janet and her husband seem like they're pretty good, but we don't know enough about the spark
Jason,
there.
Like, he wouldn't. Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the charity event.
So Jared Lips, he's been on our podcast before. We love him. He's a good friend of really a lot of people from Vanderpump. Like, you know, he's friends with Stassi. He's friends with Brittany, obviously. He's friends with Kristen. He's friends with Janet. He's friends with Lala, Sheena. But this was for, he battled and beat cancer and, you know, really attributes it to the fact that a stranger donated bone marrow to help him. So also just a little like plug for Be the Match. It's so, so easy to do it. I did it a long, long time ago. And then you had to like, they've changed it now. So if you did it a long time ago, do it again, but then you're in the registry for life. You don't have to redo it. You just have to redo it every like 8 to 10 years. But go to Be the Match.
I've done it and it's super, super easy.
You just swab your mouth. Yeah.
Go to bethematch.org, correct? But yeah. If the URL is incorrect, Google it. You'll find it immediately. But it's a great organization to support. So let's talk about the limit that Brittany had.
Yeah. Okay. So they were like, what's our limit for spending tonight? And again, this is going to make it sound like I am some like trust fund kid, which I am not by any means. But like, I've gone to like silent auctions, things like this for like with friends. And like, you always end up spending a little bit more than you think you're going to. I mean, I haven't dropped like $5,000 or anything, but I was really surprised when like they both were like, the limit's $2,500. I just am like, to me, again, I know like they're living in the valley, so it's not like they're like super, super wealthy, but like, you know, they have like million plus dollar homes. I just would think like, to me, I was expecting the limit to be more like $5,000 or $10,000. I just, $2,500 seems a little low.
Yeah. I'm not throwing down $2,500, but I have aspirations to wave my hand with that little number with certain things. And Kyle will give me a look and he's like, no.
I mean, I saw someone in St. Louis spend $7,000 on a mini Bernadoodle. So, and I'm like, I mean, we're in St. Louis. Like, this is Midwest pricing. So,
what I would imagine in California, they probably got some great, like, especially in the entertainment industry, like, going to Jimmy Kimmel, I don't know, some cool packages that you would want to throw down.
Yeah, like you probably want to like, throw down a lot of money for it.
Throw down some money. But it was a great episode. Oh, let's talk about the end, the confrontation.
So Kristen, okay, so, you know, they're like orchestrating this, like we want Kristen to talk to Michelle and Jesse. Like we just like, she wants to be like, you know, I'm sorry. And I like how she's like, I don't know if Kristen is sorry. And Kristen then kind of doubled down. I was like, I'm not taking the fall for this, the more Kristen does this, the more I'm like, there's probably some truth to like Janet really puppeteering all this, but Kristen is going to have to produce some receipts or get the people who know that Janet said it to speak up, or she's just going to have to learn to take the fall for this to move on. Like, I'm like, this isn't the hill you're going to want to die on this early into the season.
I think you got to move on. I think you keep your enemies close. I think, you know, do your little cryptic threats to Michelle and have the receipts ready for that. But aside from that, I'm just like, honey, Zach is trying to help you out. He's trying to be like, he's literally being like, you threw me under the bus. I own one part. You took an inch and ran with it. Like, so I don't know. But I also think she was like really drunk during that conversation because she misspoke and the wheels were kind of spinning for her. But then Jesse got really, his temper kind of frightens me low key.
Yeah, he has like,
when he like walked in and was like, fuck, or like whatever. And I was like, why are you so mad? I was like, there's nothing, what's so triggering about what she said? She said the wrong name, or she brought up Jasmine instead of Janet. But
They both seemed drunk. Like,
So that was the Valley. Let's take a quick ad break. And I want to tell you guys all about Jenny Kane. Today's episode, it's sponsored by Jenny Kane. And you guys have heard us talk about Jenny Kane before. I think one of the things that I'm trying to do and achieve with my closet is invest in minimalistic, effortless, luxurious type items that are staple that I will have in my closet from now until the end of time. And Jenny Kane is definitely one of those brands that helps me do that. So they have luxurious cashmere sweaters, iconic accessories to elevate all your everyday basic needs, not to mention incredible home essentials as well. I recently just got the cocoon cropped sweater. I wore it the other night. My friends were obsessed. I will share a picture of it with you all, but it's something that I can put over. We're getting closer to that summer sundress weather where it's not too hot to wear like a coat, but you need a little extra something. This cardigan, I can wear it with that. I wore it with jeans. It's just very versatile and an easy look. And it's, you know, again, quality, well-made, something that I'll have forever. So find your new uniform at jennykane.com. Our listeners get 15% off your first order when you use code REALMOMS at checkout. That's 15% off your first order. JENNIKANE.com. Promo code REALMOMS. Let getting dressed be one less thing to worry about.
A true story. This Saturday or last Saturday at 9 a.m., I was on a baseball field, which is what everybody wants to be doing on a Saturday morning at 9 a.m. I was talking with other moms and we were all saying, like, we're just getting to the age where, like, even one or two drinks, if you don't have a headache the next day, you just feel sluggish, you don't sleep as good. We're just like at this point in our life where, like, a drink or two just really isn't worth the consequences you have to pay the next day, which is why I love using Mood. If I am wanting to go out and feel a little bit of a social buzz, they have the right gummy for that. If I'm just going to hang out at home on the couch and just want to feel relaxed and kind of chilled out, they have a gummy for that. If it's date night and I want to, you know, kind of set the mood, if I don't have, you know, Danny and Brittany to go light a bunch of candles and put rose petals in my house for me, they also have a Rouse gummy. And Mood is known for their federally legal THC, but they're adding their most potent product yet to the lineup. They now have a THCA flower, the future of legal THC. You can try it along with all of Mood's other offerings, such as, you know, gummies, vapes, and more. And for a limited time, you will get a free THCA pre-roll and 20% off your first order by going to hellomood.com and using our code Real Moms. If you have never tried a gummy and you've been thinking about it, you're hearing about it, I feel like it's just, I talk to all my friends, I think we're all like just at this age where it's something that we're doing as a fun little buzz. And depending on, you know, your mood, hence the name of the company, they've got something for you. You can trust it. They will let you know the type of like buzz or high you're going to feel while consuming it, the amount. You can always just take like half of a gummy. It's just a really easy way to ease into it. So try Mood for you by going to hellomood.com, code REALMOMS for 20% off your order and a free THCA pre-roll.
Let's discuss VPR. Whoo, Tom Sandoval. He is really riding hard on a detail that does not matter, that Ariana could not survive without him and would never have toilet paper, paper towels, or batteries if they weren't living together.
I mean, does he think like Kathy Hilton's out there like, oh my God, I'm out of toilet paper, I have to run to Costco? Like, she's going to be just fine. I love how he's like, yeah, when she's in for a rude awakening. No, she's probably going to have like more than one assistant doing all this shit for her. She's just coming off of Broadway. She's going to go host like Love Island. Like, she's going to be just fine with her house being stocked with batteries, toilet paper. She's going to get it. Like, she already has a deal with Bic. She's never going to have to worry about razors or pens. I'm sure Duracell would love to have her on the team. And then she has batteries. And then just give her Bounty and Quilted Northern into the mix. And she's good to go. Like, Tom, like, she's not going to be out there buying her own toilet paper. And the fact that he's still, like, talking about this. I love how production's like, you got dragged on the internet for this. Like, why are you bringing it up again?
No, I was like, the gall of this man. Does he think, like, that also, is the mental many, load is revealing.
How many pins are they going through?
I don't know.
We're in a digital age. Like, I just don't feel like I'm like, I feel like I have like two pens that I keep in a drawer, but I don't have like 30. I'm not like, oh, let's restock the pens once
a
quarter.
No, same. I feel like it's like doctor's office pens, or if you go to a conference, it's like pens like that that are like lingering around. But I don't have that many pens either. So shut up, Tom Sandoval. Yeah. Just, ugh. I also think, so they attend this singles. Was it the singles event where he was like flirting with girls, or was it a different event? Oh, no. It's
after the beach. Yeah,
after the beach.
There's two of them, but after the beach, they go to the, well, really kind of like there is a bit of a little kerfuffle. And so the Toms leave and they're at like this like beach bar, and he's like kind of flirting with girls, kind of not. Tom walking up and be like, hey, what do you want me to buy your friends a round of? It's, I don't know. It just gave me like creepy alumni at like the college bar vibes when like we were all young and poor. And I was like, yeah, we're going to flirt with you for these free drinks, but like no one's going home with you. Like it just,
yeah, no,
it was like that
excellent
vibe.
Excellent assessment. I would take it just because of the free aspect of it and for the story, but A plus assessment on that. I just think it's funny. We've had random, I need to get the faces of these girls for my reaction folder, but we've had all these women that he's approached and they all look at him like, ugh, go away. But during this, you know, hangout at this beach bar, we have Ariana, Sheena, and Lala having this really vulnerable conversation. I think it's the first time we've seen Ariana really kind of take down her wall, breaks down, and is like, yes, I know I can't be mad at him forever, but I didn't do anything to him. You know, just kind of really unloading. And it was, I will say, it was really touching. She's like, being open in the sense of, this was my dream home, this was my forever, and it's not anymore. And that's really hard to kind of reconcile and also have to see your ex on the show.
I think too, like, we've seen like mad Ariana, and everyone's like, she has a right to be mad, he ruined her life, he did all these things. But there is like that emotional piece to it where she's like, he just like discarded me so quickly. He didn't care about the time and effort and money that we put into this home, that like this house that we made a home together. It was like the fact that he so easily like let it all go and just really didn't care about her. And then there's the piece of like the rejection of it too. There's the betrayal, obviously. And we've like talked about that, and we've seen the anger that comes with that. But I think this was the first time where we really saw kind of like the heartbreak of the rejection of it. And the fact that like at the end of the day, he chose a fair pseudo relationship with Rachel over a 10-year commitment in a house with Ariana. And that, I think that would be, that's a tough thing to face, that like, you look at it in a way of like, I wasn't good enough or I wasn't enough. It's obviously he was such a slime ball, but when you're living it, you look at it as it like, I wasn't enough to keep him there. And that hurts.
I mean, again, I would like, I support Ariana and all her feelings, but I do feel like as a viewer, it's nice to see her be vulnerable. And I think for the Ariana haters, it shows you that she's not some cold-hearted bee, that there are emotions there and she has a front. Like, an anger is much easier to disguise than to break down and cry. But something that made me cry from laughing is Katie stealing Tom's girl.
I posted that. I'm like, I love this Katie. I feel like she's so confident and empowered and is just like being herself. And everyone's like, she's like, I think she's angry. Well, not everyone, but several people messaged me like, I think she's angry. I don't think she's confident at all. I think she's like, doesn't seem like, she just has this like negativity to her. That to me, like, I think Katie has like a dark, dry humor. And I like love that. I think it's just part of who she is. But I think that only reinforces her confidence. Like, Katie is just being Katie. Like, she doesn't care. Like, she thought this girl was attractive. She flirts with her. She makes out with her. She has the confidence to do it. Doesn't care. And it wasn't even like, oh, now I think I'm into girls. She's like, I am confident in who I am. I don't have to define my sexuality. If I find someone attractive and they're giving me the vibes and they say they want to kiss me and I tell them they can, we're going to kiss. And I kind of like, good for you, Katie. I love seeing it. And I think it's like the happiest we've probably seen Katie ever on this show.
I feel like her just letting go of expectations, whether it's hooking up with your ex's best friend, which personally I would have great issue with. Like, if you and Kyle had like a relationship,
oh, no, with, I've got
that
bad,
would be like
wild. I've got bad news.
Oh my god, breaking news! But anyhow, she just doesn't give a fuck, and it's, you can tell when someone's been on TV that long and they're just really living in the moment and being themselves. It's enjoyable from a viewer perspective. Ooh, something not so enjoyable. Whew, the Joe and Tom Schwartz of it all. Lord, let's just unpack it all. Multiple layers. Let's start with the hair. So he goes to the hair salon, wants to be Ken enough, Ken Barbie blonde beach blonde hair. And Joe, like, I'm laughing because the internet is on all over there. So like the minute he mentioned that Tory chick, that they're like,
she's
that's
like, I'll make your hair blonde. Yeah.
Sabotage his hair. But also, did you notice the other hairdresser who immediately like stepped in, like looked she's mortified?
Like, how are you doing? And he's like, it's starting to burn. I think she was like, this bleach has been on his hair for way too long. He probably did have a chemical burn. Yeah, I love that when she stepped in, was like, okay, like we need to rinse this out. Like you're going to like severely injure this man.
I don't know that she's a colorist because that I would be, I'm not a blonde, but you and I both get our hair colored enough. That is, you do not want to leave with that type of blonde that he
that much.
With.
No. And it's like that it much bleach. If that's if he really wanted to go like the Ryan Gosling level of blonde, I think there's like a more of a progression to it because I think Schwartz's hair is naturally darker than Ryan Gosling's, obviously. And then like just I think, I don't know, just getting it to that level, it looks terrible. The fact that she had to do it so many times. I feel like they should have explained it to him a little bit more. Like I have a friend who did like a really cool silver color to her hair and it looked amazing. But then when she was like sick of it, it was the hardest process to get it like grown out to a normal color. And you can't just like throw another dye on top of it. Cause then like it changes that color. It's, I don't think he knew what he got into and it looks terrible.
It was horrible. And then like the cut with the longer, like lingering emo bang that was lingering. It was just a very weird, weird look.
Joe knew what she was doing. Not in the sense of being a hairdresser, but she knew that this was going to look awful. I'm glad she finally said something at the end because it's like, oh, I'll go to the thing at the Mondrian. And you could tell that he was like, okay, I really don't want you to be there. And then she like sees him making out and she's like, walks up and is like, I'm leaving. I'm out. I don't know. The whole thing, it was just like, Joe, you need to admit you have feelings for him and that you need him to either say, this is more than a friendship or this is just a friendship. And she finally forced it out of him, but I'm so confused. Then like, why was Joe at the reunion if we had this conversation?
Probably to talk about the aftermath of it all. And she's such a chaotic person on TV that she
she's going to be so good on this.
She's going to give us some sound bites, but she also like, it did break my heart. She is chaotic and a bit out there and whatever. But it did break my heart that I feel like she felt like she made a comment of like, I'm your secret. Like, you can never just be open with the things that you've said to me. Like, you've said, I love you. We've slept together. Like, he really let her on. And he really let her on. But I also feel like she ignored the signs as well.
Yeah.
But like, I think it's because of the things he said behind closed doors.
Yeah, I think she was dickmatized.
Oh, my God. I'm like,
which is weird. Because I just really Schwartzy isn't a dickmatizer in my mind. He's like a puppy.
Charmer. Like a charmer. Okay, yeah. So the last thing the ladies fight over. So Lala had gotten a hot dog with Joe. Mm-hmm. And she informs they're having a girls' night. It's Sheena, Lala, Katie, and Ariana at a bar. And
at a dive bar. It was kind of weird. They showed up like dressed as if they were going somewhere else. But yeah.
Yeah. So they show up at a dive bar and Lala just brings up casually how she met up with Joe and Katie was like, what? And I have to say, I would be pissed if one of my best friends was giving an opportunity or a conversation to someone who I just don't like.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I think Katie, like she blew up really fast. I think maybe she could have been a little bit more like, well, what was the point of this? Why? Like, but I do see like the fact that Schwartz was like, you should go talk to Lala and try to be friends with Lala to get in with the group. And like, if I were Katie, I'd be like, why would Tom even say that? Like, there has to have been other things that you've said to Tom that make him think that like you're somehow going to be like, okay with all of this. And I think Katie knows that there are things about Lala that she just can't trust and that Lala isn't going to be like this ride or die. And she knows it. So she's just waiting for like the right opportunity to kind of like expose it. And when she gets a little bit of it, she goes a little bit hard because I think she like wants the rest of the group to see it. And like we're seeing it now off camera, like through social media and stuff, that like Lala is making it seem like Katie was this terrible friend and that like Ariana isn't a good friend either. I mean, Sheena and Lala are doing the most to make it known that like their friendship with Katie and Ariana is not what it once was. It really wasn't even that great of one. They're not that good of friends. But it seems, I mean, they hung out a lot together this season. And I don't know. I see why Katie was upset. I think she maybe went a little too crazy. But again, she has that right.
She brought up the like Tom and Randall, which to her, this is like in her mind, Lala, whether you agree if it's apples to apples or you think it's apples to oranges, it's very like similar behavior where you're like, you saw how you got mad. Well, I'm feeling that same type of anger, some type of way, because you're supposed to be my girl, have my back. I don't care if this chick is harmless, but if you're going to talk to her, like have the balls to tell me and just say, hey, I'm going to listen, hear her out, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't think it needs to be that difficult, but.
Yeah. I think it also could just be like, hey, I felt like she was ganged up on when she went to that, you know, that event. It kind of made me feel bad. I've been in that situation. She reached out and asked if we could just go to lunch. And I thought, you know, I've never really even given this girl a chance and sat down and gotten to know her. I've just went off of what everyone said. We went and got a hot dog. It's not that deep. But like, instead, like she made it like this big thing of like, I'm softer. I'm like this great, nice person. It's like, okay. But all right, let's wrap with Potomac. There were a few good maybe pieces of this. Finally, Karen is like, let's stop talking about Jeremiah's paternity. I mean, like, it took
long enough. And honestly, yeah. Andy, I wish you would have been the person to say that. Like, I know you kept following up with the questions, but I am so glad that Karen's like, no, we're putting the kibosh on this. It's inappropriate. We do not need to be discussing this further. So I was like, thank you so much. I love on Potomac when Giselle shows her heart. When we see the emotional side of Giselle, because she is someone who's so guarded and hides a lot behind a lot of shade and humor. But when you kind of break that down a little bit, and watching that montage about her and her dad was just like very touching.
It was really sweet. I think it was neat that she said everyone told her not to do the show except for her dad. I thought that was really cool. And I forgot about their trip to New Orleans when he like kind of gave them all that history. I knew that New Orleans was like obviously like where they were from and really important to their family, but I kind of like forgot when like the history of it and the fact that he really wanted these women to understand some of the like a little bit of like the pain and what it was like, you know, like as life as a slave, which I think for Potomac and shows that have a mostly, you know, well, really all Black cast, you know, it does. I think it's like, it does mean more to them than like other cast. And so I mean, her dad was just such a cool guy. It was really sweet and neat to watch it. And I thought I really liked the moments where she kind of leaned on Karen too, knowing that they both have lost, you know, parents that they cared deeply about. I think there is, it's kind of funny. Like, I feel like sometimes I'll say things or you'll see things on like online and people will be like, well, that's not fair because you can still be an empathetic and nice person. But like for you, for example, like I can be empathetic and know that it probably was a struggle to have a kid in the NICU. But I don't know what it's like to leave a hospital and my baby stay behind. And I think that's something that like you have to live it to know it. And I think so, like when you lose a parent that you're close with, it's like people can be supportive. And like you were such a great friend for me when my dad passed away. But there are certain things that it's like you have to live it to know it. And I think that for her and Karen, I think that's going to be something that the two of them kind of always have that like bond over, which was kind of, I don't want to say neat to see, but it was just like heartwarming that they were there for each other.
Yes. I think given their history and their dynamics and their frenemy and how they dish it, they really do respect each other. And I think that's really admirable to see. We always say it, but in terms of people who spar against each other and will like throw shade, like they do it at a level where there's some respect to it. I mean, not always, but you know, they're not Teresa and Melissa, let's put it that way.
It's never going to a point. Yeah. It's never going to a point where like, they're like, that's it. I'm never going to film with you. So like, I think, yeah, I like seeing the ups and downs with the two of them. It's just in that moment, it was nice to see them kind of lean on one another. I mean, Giselle kind of opened up. She's dating other guys too. Guys, don't be worried about Giselle. When you see Jason with someone younger or see Jason with like, you know, another woman, she's doing just fine.
She is doing just fine. Although I can't, this is a part about Giselle that's hard to read because she's so good at putting a front but I can't tell or decide if that really bothers her. Like, I'm like, you were a pastor's wife for so many years, and I feel like commitment is something that means a lot to you, that I can't see her just like casually having sex. And like, she doesn't give that energy to me.
I wonder if she's just like casually going on dinner dates. I also wonder, like, part of me like had the same thought. Like, I don't know if it's as open. I think she's saying it's open because like that's what Jason's doing. And she also still wants Jason in her life. And then like when they're together, they enjoy being together and she's happy with that. I also wonder too, if some of it is like, maybe she appreciates and respects that, like, we don't know. Maybe Jason said from the beginning, I really like you and I enjoy spending time with you, but I am, you know, 28 and I am not really at a point where I'm going to like settle down and become a stepdad to, you know, three grown women, versus her husband, Jamal, who was just out there cheating with everybody and getting people pregnant left and right. You know, I wonder if she's like, hey, he's telling me this. There's a level of respect. There's a level of maturity that I didn't necessarily have with my husband. You know, I enjoy his company. I want to keep it. So I'm going to agree to this, even if it's not like the ideal situation for me. I don't know. I would love to hear the full.
Oh, same. He's 37. I just Googled. Oh. He's much older than we think.
I feel like they talk about how young he is. I like in my head, he had to be under 30. He's our age.
Yeah, he's our age. Well, our age getting it. But that was, you know, fun to see and hear them talking about. I also kind of enjoyed, we got a Taylor Swift reference in this reunion. Candace basically is not down to work with Drew anymore because Drew went behind her back and talked to someone that they like, I don't know what type of talent, but basically crossed that unspoken rule of like, you don't poach. And I just found that entertaining.
It is very entertaining. It also doesn't surprise me. I kind of am like, Drew isn't like all that super talented, I don't think. And I, not that Candace is like, you know, she's not a Beyonce by any means, but I think she has a little bit more, when it comes to singing, has a little more talent.
Drew is an actress. Let's not forget.
Yes. No, I loved the game. I like that was a great series. I wish it was still around, but she's a great actress. I wouldn't say she's a great singer. And I think she's trying to make a singing career happen. It doesn't surprise me that Drew like did this, but I think it's funny that like Candace is like, no, we will not be working together. Like it was just...
It was very obvious.
Bad blood.
Bad blood. That's right. And then we end with a cliffhanger from Gordon. Gordon's there. He essentially is like, I have something to share with you all. I don't know if you know about this. I don't want to keep it a secret.
All speculated. Yeah.
I hope everything's okay with his health. I think in the way he worded it, I'm not giving like, I have an illness.
I know the internet was like, oh my God, he's really sick. I wasn't going that way either. I wonder if it was like, I feel like it's going to go back to Jeremiah. I think he's going to say something like, I have no desire for there to be a paternity test. Cause I don't know. I feel like it's going to be related to Jeremiah, not related to something with him.
I don't know. It's very interesting. And whatever it is, I know we don't need a third part for it. We could have wrapped it up, but we'll be talking about it next week.
All right. Well, now it's time for our shout outs. Who's your shout out this week, Vanessa?
I'm going to give it to women's basketball. Ooh. I just think it's amazing that this phenomenon has happened in our country thanks to the talent of Angel, Caitlin Clark, all these different amazing athletes that are becoming household names. And I just think it's very cool that for my girls, that they can see that, hey, dad wants to watch the Final Four game with these two teams. Like, I just think that's very, very cool. And I'm so happy that my girls will have these athletes to look up to.
I want to give mine to Dawn Staley. So I'm similar. We're like on the same level. For a couple of reasons. One, I mean, she's an incredible coach. She lost last year to Iowa in the Final Four and in the semis, and then went undefeated this year and wins a national championship. She's the only person who has been the John Wooden Player of the Year and Coach of the Year twice. So she was a two-time Player of the Year and a two-time Coach of the Year. But I also give her a lot of credit. There's been this big debate because Caitlin Clark didn't win a national championship. Can you say she's the GOAT? I didn't love some of the comments that other professional basketball players were kind of saying about her, almost like diminishing a little bit of her talent and skills, because you can't debate what she's done to this game. And I think, you know, she's really brought a level of attention on this. I mean, let's not forget, in 2021, the women's NCAA, their locker room was a set of free weights in like a empty hotel room. And they were given like turkey and cheese sandwiches in like styrofoam when the men were getting like steak. So we've really had like this big turnaround. But I love that Dawn Staley took the chance when she won to thank Caitlin Clark for what she did to the game and the way that she's brought attention to it and what the like amazing athlete and role model she is. I just think that shows someone who is just confident in themselves, but also is like, I want this game to continue to get better. And Caitlin Clark is kind of the future of women's basketball. And I really appreciate the way she handled it. So it was really well done.
Women are classy. Yeah. I'm telling you. No bad blood, good sportsmanship. We are a classy bunch.
I know. And even Angel Reese. I mean, I will say, like, you posted about it, but like, she didn't say anything bad about Caitlin. She's like, we're competitors. I wanted to beat her, of course.
Well, duh. But, yeah, like, that goes like any sport. I hate like trying to pit two women against each other.
Always.
For no, I mean, in this, like, she is playing against her competitor. Like, of course you're going to make faces and things, but it doesn't have anything to do with that, who that person is at the end of the day.
Yes.
Huh. And rent.
You guys are women.
And or men or men, whatever.
But we want to support some women.
You know what to do. Scroll. Gave us a review. This year is the year of surprises from Real Moms of Bravo. We've got some fun things up our sleeve, and we definitely need your support to make all these things happen. So do your part. And with that, make it a great day or don't. The choice is yours.